This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 7:13 in the evening and you're with Lynn on the Evening Edition. We're talking today about iLestari, which is, of course, something that was announced yesterday by Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin, which will allow for EPF contributors under 55 to withdraw 500 ringgit a month from account 2 for 12 months. And so in order to take us through this, we are crossing over to Dr. Madeline Burma, fellow at the Academy of Sciences Malaysia. Dr. Madeline, thank you so much for joining us. So what do you think of this move by the government? Can you perhaps elaborate to us on the pros and cons?
Okay, let me just highlight, thank you very much. Yeah, let me just highlight the positive, or rather the pro, and later I will highlight the cons. Okay, if you look at the EPF, the government, or under the, what do you call it, the economic stimulus package recently announced, the government said it can withdraw, right, 500 ringgit for the next 1 year from account 2 of the EPF. Now, if you look at economic policies, this is what we call the fiscal policy. It's an expansionary policy. The objective is to increase aggregate demand, that is to counter an economic slowdown. So the best way to do it is to increase aggregate demand. And the way to increase aggregate demand, one of the ways is to increase disposable income. So by allowing contributors to withdraw from the EPF, the positive impact is that it will benefit about 12 million, if I'm not mistaken, 12 million EPA users, and its value is about 40 billion withdrawal. And the most immediate impact will be it will cushion the economic impact of COVID-19 outbreak. So, and this is especially very important for those who had lost their income, especially the last, you know, with the MRO, the movement restriction orders and everything. So a lot of businesses have stalled and many people have lost their income, source of income, especially for those in the lower income category and those who rely on daily wages. So without work for the next 2 weeks, or in the last 2 weeks, and probably the MRO may be even be expanded. So this is really something that will affect their income. And in the long term, it will also affect the economy. So this withdrawal of from their EPF, especially for those who are contributors, this will allow them to increase their source of, it will provide them with a new source of income for them. However, with this income, there will be some negative impact to it later, which I will highlight here. So that's number one. It will increase or the cushion the economic impact. Secondly, one of the problems in Malaysia is that our B40, or those in the bottom 40 category, the majority of them are working in what we call the informal sector. Many of them do not have a contribution, or rather they rely on daily income. So this 500 ringgit, if they are contributing to the EPF, it will really help them. It will reduce them in terms of it helped them to put food on the table. That was what the government really wants, actually, you know, to make ends meet. And for some of them, it is also, it will help them to pay some of their debts. So this is one thing that is also important. Although that may not be the main, what you call the objective of the withdrawal, is to pay debts. But for many of those in the lower income category, debt is one of the way they survive. So they borrow, they have income, they have cash, and then they will repay back. So in a way, in one way, that will help them to repay their debts. Number three, what is important, although there's a lot of accusation, there was a lot of negative remarks against the withdrawal. I know many are not in favor of this, but to me, as an economist, we need to provide options. It's not that the government is forcing you to withdraw. The government is providing an option. So for those of you who want to withdraw and who need to withdraw and who are eligible to withdraw, less than 55 years old, so option for them. So this is very, very important. It provides them, or it gives them an option who are eligible and they need to withdraw from their EPF to make ends meet. So to me, all these things will create what we call, it will generate or increase their disposable income and generate economic activities, which is very much needed at the moment because of the slowdown in the economy. However, if you look at the negative, or rather the argument against the withdrawal, there are some very strong arguments against it. One is that many of the, as I have discussed earlier, the majority of the low income, especially the bottom 40, or what we call the bottom, which is like the 5%, those in the lower end, or what we call at the bottom of the pyramid, many of them are daily earners, daily wage earners, and some of them are working in the informal sector, and they do not have many of them do not have savings, and they do not contribute to their EPF. So this initiative, the withdrawal for 500 from the EPF, will definitely not benefit them. To a certain extent, it will discriminate against them, the hardcore poor, who in fact are the ones who really needed the most support. So I think the government needs to think of other alternatives, you know, the safety net, to provide the kind of support for this group. Secondly, another worrying thing is that Malaysia will become an aging society. I think most of us know that we will become an aging society, and it's been reported that we will become an aging society by the year 2030. So by allowing those eligible to withdraw from their EPF savings, this initiative, I can foresee, will reduce the retirement savings of this group. So in the current current situation, if I may quote some of the official statistics, the official statistics reveal that 60% of EPF contributors aged 54 years have less than 50,000 in their EPF account. And most of the retirees use up this amount they spend about 10 years after the retirement. And after that, all this will be, use up many of these savings after their retirement. So Malaysians will face old age without any savings. And when over 70 years of age, they are totally reliant on their family members, who might also be struggling to make the needs of their own families. So in a way, by allowing the present and allowing the contributors to withdraw 500 ringgit monthly for the next 1 year, it will increase the incidence of poverty among the pensioners in the long term. So, and finally, I am also concerned with what we call the extra cash in hand. In economics, we call that it will encourage some households to borrow against their future income to finance their present consumption. In the long term, if it is not properly monitored, this is what we call, it will create debt-fueled consumption. Meaning to say, consumption will increase. However, the increase in consumption is funded by debt. So meaning to say, there are individuals or people, especially those in the lower income category, because Malaysia has one of the highest rate of household debt. So there is a tendency for Malaysians, when they see there is an extra income, so there is a tendency for them to, you know, to go for that option, withdraw from the EPF, and at the same time, with the extra income, they will fuel the consumption. What we worry is to spend on what we call conspicuous spending, meaning to say things that may not be of essential or not something that is really that important right now. So this will what we call create in economics what we call as debt fuel consumption. Okay, that's my opinion.
Right. And, you know, having said that, that 500 ringgit a month, is that enough?
I think it's more than enough for some, especially for their M40. But for the B40, I'm not too sure it will be sufficient for them. Because, not many of them do have sufficient savings. So I don't think they can even have the capacity to withdraw 500. So in a sense, the 500 may not be sufficient for them, but they do not have the capacity to withdraw. They may not be eligible to withdraw that full 500. But for the M40, I think it is more than enough because many of them are earning more than 3,500. So an extra 500 is something that is, in fact, many of them think that they will, many of them think that they will not withdraw. So that's it.
And Mohamed Abdul Khalid, who is the economic advisor to former Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, said that the government could instead use the more than 400 billion ringgit in reserves that the country has. How feasible is this option?
I would definitely agree with Dr. Mohamad, the advisor to the our interim Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir. Remember, he suggested that why don't we look into alternatives? Like, we already have Kumpulan Wang Amanah Negara, that's about 17 billion there, and we also have our reserves. So maybe this is the best time for us to dig into this rather than getting the you know, the contributors to withdraw from their EPF. So to me, the withdrawal is the last resort. So let us look, the government must take the initiative. So meaning to say, let's look and dig into the reserves, and the other one is from the KWAN, and Kumpulan Wang Amanah Negara.
And could you elaborate a little bit more about what dipping into national reserves would mean and how it works? Beyond that, what other options perhaps, you know, could the government consider?
Okay, how it works, I'm not really sure because they have a committee involved in it. But basically, I mean, it has to go through parliament and things like that. But basically, I think in most cases, they are just like, you know, like normal people like us. We have a savings in times of need. So these are the kind of, when we say Kumpulan Wang Amanah, it means it's in trustee. So there is a group of trustees. So I think they need to go through process whereby they need to bring it to parliament, which they can do it immediately. So it's not really that difficult. You don't need to have a kind of an agreement from, like in the case of EPF, it's the people themselves, you know, the contributors who have to withdraw. So in terms of Kumpulan Wang Amanah, and the other one is the reserve, so the government can have they have the authority, or rather the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry, the Prime Minister, and I think in fact they have the authority to decide and how to disperse it. How are they going to do that? I'm not too sure because we have not really thought of the options, but I'm sure that is one option that we should look into. And the other option that I think is to we must not forget about the elderly and the pensioners, you know, because many of them will be, as I mentioned just now, for example, those in the more than 70 years old, some of them may not have their pension anymore. So maybe, you know, the cash handout will be something that is really something worth thinking about rather than asking them to withdraw because there's nothing left. So I think the government needs to give a cash handout, like in the case, maybe a cash handout of maybe 200, 300 or 400 ringgit to this group because the number is very, very small. And the other one is maybe the government, or not really maybe, I think this is something also an option that the government can really look into is look into giving interest-free loan, you know, and get people to pay back when the economy is back. You know, not just the economy, means to say when the borrower have sufficient funds to repay back. So that is really something, you know, in terms of economics, that is something that we can look into, meaning to say give interest-free loan to individuals, but of course with certain criteria who are eligible and for the purpose of addressing the problem with COVID-related. You know, they can't be withdrawing just because they want to buy a new house or they want to buy a new car, you know, things like that. It's more for, you know, this is related to the economy slowdown, related to COVID-related, like health-related measures. Yeah.
So, Dr. Madeline, last question. It does feel as if the policies announced have been perhaps more reactionary in nature, right? What would your idea of a comprehensive social welfare plan be at this point in time, keeping in mind Malaysia's most vulnerable communities?
Okay, first of all, we need to really reform our social security system, how the EPF is being managed. We are doing well. Because in the sense that we have, if you look at the total, looking at the, what do you call that, total assets, and we are going more than 1 trillion at one time. So we are doing quite well. But I think in the long term, if you look at the kind of system that we have, it can only finance in terms of or providing the social security only to a certain extent. In fact, what happened is that, as I mentioned earlier, many of us, you know, what happened at the moment, according to EPF, if I'm not mistaken, when I read the report, they said you require a minimum of about 228,000 in savings, in EPF savings, to enable you to withdraw about 990 ringgit monthly when you after you retire. And that will can only sustain you for about 10 years after you retire. And after that, many Malaysians, you know, the elderly, will fall into what we call the poverty. So we have an old age poverty. So the existing system needs to be reformed. They need to think of ways, maybe what some people argue, or some economists suggest that maybe what we need is a system, more investment in terms of EPF. And another way is when we said reform it is to identify new business models to enable us or to enable EPF to pay what you call monthly pension until they die, not until a certain period. So they need to think of a way, design a mechanism or design a business model that will enable the EPF to contribute or the savings that will sustain them until the pensioner or the contributor dies rather than until a certain age and after that they become poor. So that's basically what I'm proposing.
Dr. Madeline, thank you so much for joining us. That was Dr. Madeline Burma, fellow at the Academy of Sciences Malaysia, talking to us about the I Lestari scheme and I suppose how to better care for Malaysians who need that safety net financially, especially at this point in time. After this, we are going to be headed to the 7:30 news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.